Hi, and welcome to Nassio Voices, where we talk all things state IT. I'm Amy Glasscock in Lexington, Kentucky.
And I'm Alex Whitaker in Washington, D.C. It's late April, and that means it's time for another conference preview episode with Nassio's own Director of Experience and Engagement, Emily Lane.
But first, we're excited to introduce you to our newest Nassio team member, Kalia Young Gibson, who is our newest policy analyst, and she is stopping by for a few minutes to talk with us. Kalia, welcome to the team, and thanks for joining us.
Hi, Amy. Hi, Alex. So happy to be here. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, well, we are all so excited that you've joined. But tell us about your background and how you came to Nassio.
Yeah, so my background is a little all over the place, but you can kind of streamline it into two major parts. The first part being policy, the next part being people. These two things complement each other for me, especially. I do believe that in order to create and implement effective policies, you have to understand the people who will be affected by it. And that includes and emphasizes the understanding that every individual who interacts with or is affected by a certain policy will have a uniquely different outcome than the next person. And that's just solely based on lived experiences. As a researcher, data and policy analyst, keeping people front and center of every research project, everything I do, and knowing people themselves is very, very paramount. With this in mind, I double majored in psychology and political science in undergrad at Winthrop University in Rock Hill, South Carolina. After that, I pursued my master's in public administration from The Ohio State University. In addition to pursuing research methods and policy work, I supplemented those things with that emphasis of keeping people front and center by working as a diversity, equity, and inclusion facilitator, just to deepen my understanding of people and how to communicate and advocate for people in that policy space, knowing just how diverse all of our lived experiences are. I also have prior experience as a policy and data analyst on Capitol Hill, implementing reentry services and policy at a correctional facility and research presentation and data visualization. I came to Nassio because I do feel like the next step in my career is to now help organizations who help others better help others. I hope that made sense.
Mm-hmm. It does, and it's really interesting and really exciting, and I know we think you've got a great background, obviously, and I can't wait to learn more about it.
Yeah, everyone can see why she was hired already.
Exactly. So, what kind of specifically attracted you to the role, and what do you hope to accomplish?
So, what specifically attracted me to the role and Nassio as a whole is that Nassio really strives to ensure government uses technology and uses innovation to serve all of its constituents in the most effective and efficient ways possible. Also, I'm doing this while remaining nonpartisan, ensuring ethical approaches to research and policy creation implementation, and also in turn with all of that, doing that effectively also restores the public's trust in government itself. I know over the last few years, we've seen a lot of disarray when it comes to how much the public actually trusts in government, but Nassio's mission and its principles and how they go about that really, really does help restore that trust. Overall, it's a very people-first approach that I resonate with, not only as a policy analyst, but as a person who has had to navigate such things with my own unique lived experience. I always had help. I always had people to rely on in both of those aspects, and I want to return that and pay it forward in any way I can. So I hope to just continue driving Nassio's missions forward by using my unique skill set to provide insights and recommendations on policy that maximizes efficiency and effectiveness, and really helping people understand policy, getting through some of that ivory tower jargon language. My mom used to tell me when I was a kid that I would talk to a wall and get the wall to talk back. So really hoping I'm able to use my ability to connect with different people from all walks of life, plus my research background, and just continue pushing that Nassio mission forward.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a common thing at Nassio too, I'll say, being able to talk to anyone. So you're in good company.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's interesting too, how, you know, all of our lived experiences, you know, can't help but be part of the way that we view the work that we do. And, you know, everyone involved in Nassio, from our team here and our members, we're all also citizens of our state and have to interact with the state in different ways and have throughout our lives. So, you know, we take those experiences to the work as well. So, yeah, It's great. Great viewpoint. So I know you've only been on the job a couple of days now. You may not know what your portfolio is going to look like, but based on what you've seen so far, are there any specific issues that you hope you get to focus on?
Yeah. So AI is definitely the talk of the town, the state, the nation, the world. And I've noticed a lot of that focus is on how do we best regulate it. That is important. But I think something else that I'd like to focus on regarding AI that is also important to me is on its accessibility. Just like with any new technology, AI can do a lot of good for a lot of people. But that's only if everyone can access it in the way that they need to in order to, you know, use it to make their lives better. The nature of AI itself creates a lot of potential to meet people where they are. And we're already seeing that anybody who has a laptop or a phone has been on ChatGPT. But I'd also just like to focus on how can we explore that and expand that and move it forward.
Yeah, that's great. And we can definitely use some help around AI, as we will be talking about later on this podcast. We have a day at conference where there are multiple AI sessions going on at once, and I cannot be in all of them. So everybody's going to be helping out with AI, I think. Okay. A lot of different facets to consider as well. So what are you most excited about as you start your NASIO career?
So I'm excited about so much. It's already been such a great time in my first week, a great group of people. I think the thing that I'm most excited about is being able to network. I've been fortunate enough to have gained a lot of hands-on experience so soon and so early in my career, but there's absolutely nothing better than learning from the people who are well-established in their careers, well-versed in their fields, and like connecting with and being mentored by people who are sitting in the place and operating the positions where you want to be one day is an opportunity that I'll never pass on. So definitely looking forward to the conferences and being able to network that way and continue to just grow in my career and my skill set from other people.
That's great. Well, you definitely have that opportunity with the upcoming conference and just in the world of Zoom that we live in here.
Oh, yeah.
All right. So we can't let you go without a segment that we call the lightning round, where we get to learn a little about your life outside of work. Are you ready?
Yeah, I am ready.
All right. So Amy and I already know the answer to this, but we really wanted to share it with the listeners. So can you tell us, what did you want to be when you were little and you grew up?
I surely can. My very first career aspiration was to be a WWE superstar. I've been a huge wrestling fan my entire life. The showmanship, the storytelling, I'm still in awe of it to this day. That's really how I continue to connect with my inner child. So my very first career dream was to be a WWE superstar.
All right. Well, when I see you at midyear, I need to ask you what you thought about WrestleMania. So we'll talk about
that later. Make sure you set aside about 2 hours for
you know, maybe it's not too late. We can all have a side hustle. All right. Do you have a favorite band or musical artist?
So I do have a favorite band, and it's actually Neon Trees. I know everybody is familiar with like the big hits, So Everybody Talks and Animal, but all of their albums, like there isn't, you can play a Neon Trees album for me and there are no skips. All of their music is just really, really well thought out, from the chords, the melodies, to the actual lyrics. I was also a band kid and studied music theory at one point. So they really do a good job at making you feel, which is what music is supposed to do. So most definitely Neon Trees.
All right. Awesome. I'll have to check them out.
Yeah. And finally, any fun summer plans?
So back in the WWE vein, I went to my very first WWE show in January, and there is another one in the summer that we are planning to travel to go to. So looking forward to that. And I am also going to Canada at some point in the summer, just for a vacation. That will be my second time ever out of the country. So looking forward to both of those things.
Awesome.
Where was the first?
So the first is actually in 2 weeks. I will be going to Guatemala.
Oh, amazing.
Cool.
Yeah, super excited.
Well, I can't wait to talk more about that offline.
All right. Well, thanks so much, Kalia. We've really loved getting a chance to talk to you. And I know we all look forward to working with you.
Thank you so much for having me. And I'm looking forward to working with you all as well.
All right. Thanks.
Next up is our interview with Emily to give us the rundown for the Midyear Conference. Emily, how's it going?
I am doing well. Busy, but well.
I bet you are. So remind us when and where the NASIO 2024 Midyear Conference is and who can attend.
The Mid-Year Conference will take place later this month in National Harbor, Maryland, so April 28th through May 1st. All NASIO conferences are members-only events, and by the time this podcast airs, registration will be closed. We do not accept on-site registration, but we do accept on-site substitutions. So if your colleague is unable to attend last minute, that registration spot can be transferred to someone within the same company and can be completed on site. And then if you are a state member and are interested sort of last minute in attending, just reach out to us at registrations@nasio.org and we'll work with you.
Got it. Thanks. So how does NASIO decide on conference programming and how far ahead do you have the agenda set? I know that sometimes people ask about being on a panel or sponsorship opportunities for sessions.
Yeah. So we start building out the agenda about 4 months prior to conference. Unlike a lot of associations, NASIO does not issue a formal call for proposals or call for speakers. So our programs committee, which is a group of around 20 members, kind of split between state and corporate members, they identify topics for the agenda. And then once those are finalized, we work to find the best speaker or case study for that topic area. So deciding on session topics is a bit maybe like playing Tetris. We take a lot of things into consideration to find the right topic for the right spot. And to do that, we look at past event evaluations and what folks said they'd like to hear about. We host something we call an idea roundup, which is where our members can tell us what they want out of conferences. We look at the state CIO survey and the state CIO top 10 priorities, which are two, big guideposts for everything NASIO really does in a year. We also look at the current landscape. So maybe there's a topic that isn't on that top 10 priorities, but is a pressing topic that we really need to talk about, in person. We also take into account conversations that are happening on our forum calls and in the community, and then balance all of that with what has been on the agenda at recent conferences. So once I sort of distill all of that, get input from the rest of the NASIO team, I present recommendations to the programs committee. We do a bit of workshopping and we get to a final agenda.
That's great. So how far ahead of a conference would you say the agenda is finalized?
Well, as I said, we start working on the agenda about 4 months prior. So we have a really good idea of where we're going. But then within those topics, again, since we don't do that formal proposal of like, here is this set session, it's a little ebb and flow of we have the idea. And then just as we work through who's available, that good stuff, those will fine-tune themselves, probably have all the fine-tuning done 2 months before.
Yeah.
It's all my preference, but sometimes doesn't work out that way.
Yeah. Yeah. People drop out and replacements need to be made and all of that. Yeah. So I always look forward to our keynote sessions. They're entertaining, inspirational, interesting. Sometimes I even shed a tear or two. Who do we have on deck for the keynote sessions?
So on Monday, we will kick off the conference with Teresa Payton. She's a former CIO and the first female CIO for the White House, very well known for her cybersecurity expertise. And she will be doing a keynote that focuses on ethics around artificial intelligence and the frameworks that we can use to help make those ethical decisions. When we had our speaker prep call, I always joke that I just want to record those and use them. It was just fascinating to sit back and listen to her. So very excited about that one. Also very excited about Tuesday morning. We'll hear from Paula Davis on building resilient teams. So she'll highlight some very specific and tangible models and strategies that leaders can use in their work to help create a culture of resiliency. And that is resiliency to immediate stressors and to immediate challenges, as well as working in and working through times of uncertainty, which I think probably we're all in, just as we keep talking about Gen AI, and there's lots of predictions for what that means. And while it hasn't happened yet, there's, you know, some uncertainty around that. So that'll be a really interesting, useful, applicable keynote.
Yeah, both of those sound very timely and should be quite interesting as well. So I know we have other sessions that take place in the big ballroom. So our general sessions, what can we expect from those?
Yeah, so outside of the keynotes, we have three general sessions. Monday afternoon, we'll have a panel that will discuss citizen identity management. Tuesday morning, right after that keynote, we have a fireside chat with a few members of the NASIO Executive Committee, and they are going to be talking about NASIO's recent mission change. Rather than having that be focused really on the mission itself, it's more of a conversation about what the greater context was that, you know, led to them thinking there needed to be a change in the mission statement, and then what that means generally for state IT and for NASIO membership. And then Tuesday afternoon, our closing session will be a look at third-party cybersecurity risk management.
Cool. Sounds great. And for the second one that you mentioned about our mission change, it's really interesting because I feel like we don't usually do conference sessions on decisions that the executive committee makes. But this one's really important for everyone there to kind of understand, you know, who NASIO is and what we do and why. So very cool.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, for sure. So I know that a lot of people also look forward to the learning lounges. So what are the topics for these this year?
Yeah, so we're doing something a little different this year. Each day, the learning lounges have a broad theme. So on Monday, we have four concurrent sessions, and those all relate to generative AI. So we're going to talk about generative AI and its alignment with privacy. Essentially, is your data and your privacy laws ready for Gen AI? We're going to look at a recent study about Gen AI's implications on the state IT workforce. Another session will tackle current and potential use cases and considerations of using Gen AI in digital services. And then we'll look kind of foundational. There's another session on how states are implementing guardrails and guidelines in the use of generative AI. And then on Tuesday afternoon, there are three concurrent sessions, and all of those relate to data. So one session will present some recent findings on a study on data quality and data management. Another session will have Texas provide a case study on their data literacy program. And then the third session is the District of Columbia is presenting on Open Data DC, which has a lot of visualization tools and dashboards and recently launched an AI assistant. So those will all be very interesting. I will say Tuesday morning, we have a series of interactive breakouts, which have a very different focus than the learning lounges. So these sessions, they're 30 minutes, they're only held once, and they have been designed to get attendees heavily collaborating with one another. So they're very discussion, interaction based. And those topics are hybrid workforce, change management, and public and private solutioning. So the formats and sort of what will be expected of you in that room can all be found in the agenda, which is online, and of course, in the conference app.
Awesome. It's great. Well, of course, we can't go without talking about AI, but I do love how NASIO has been tackling that topic recently. So I'm sure they'll all be interesting sessions. So is there a state meet and greet again this time? And if so, was it going to be different from in the past?
There is a state meet and greet again. It will look overall very similar to past years in that each state in attendance is stationed at a table for the duration of the session. And then corporate members are able to mingle through, you know, and talk to states of their choosing. So as a reminder, the meet and greet is intended for quick introductory conversations. So a chime will ring every 90 seconds to keep those conversations moving along. And the change to this meet and greet comes in that instead of having all attendees enter at one time, this year, there will be three groups. So those groups are limited to 250 corporate member attendees, and each group has 30 minutes to network with the states. We were hearing that while this session is incredibly valuable, just the crowd size made it kind of noisy, hard to hear. There was some space congestion. So we hope that this will help address those concerns. Corporate members selected the networking group that they wanted to be in during registration. That will be printed on name badges, and then we'll have signage and information in the app where, you know, we'll let you know where to be and when. And then just a reminder, due to the complexities on site, you may only enter with your selected group and you cannot change groups. So, you know, look for your info on your badge and then the where to be and when on signage in the app. Of course, if you're not sure, ask NASIO team members and we'll get you where you need to be.
Yeah. Always feel free to ask a NASIO team member. We're a nice bunch and always happy to help.
Yeah. And glad that I am doing this podcast so I know people can look at their name badges. That's a really smart idea.
Yeah.
We try to make it easy.
Yeah, that's great. So I know that at our conferences, as we've mentioned before on this podcast, we have a give back partner, an organization that we raise money for during the event. Tell us about our give back partner for this mid-year conference.
Yeah, so NASIO has been in National Harbor since 2019 for our mid-year conference, and we've gotten to know three organizations throughout that time. So this will be our last year, at least for a while, in National Harbor. Mid-year is going to start moving around a little bit. Mm-hmm. So the programs committee decided to honor all three of those groups as sort of a farewell and a thank you, and those are Bite Back, CityGate, and STEM for Her. Representatives from each group will be on site during the kind of high traffic times of the conference. And then there's information on our website and in the app about their missions, links to their website, and of course, the link to donate if you'd like to do so.
Great.
So what is the dress code for the event? And most importantly, what if we get hungry between meals?
So the dress code is business casual. You'll see all interpretations of that. Jeans, slacks, skirts with nice tops, polos, collared shirts, all the way to suit and tie. So whatever you want to wear, though, I do suggest comfy shoes for all the walking and standing and layers. You know, as hard as we try, some rooms are cold, some rooms are stuffy. Mm-hmm. So just the way of hotel conference rooms. And then if you're hungry between meals, you might not be paying attention because we feed people and we feed people a lot. So each morning we have a hot buffet breakfast. There's a plated lunch. And then we always have afternoon snacks. Along with our give back program, we have a premium fancy coffee bar all day long. I will say if you're not a give back donor and you want to partake in a fancy beverage, we just ask that you donate at least the cost of a typical latte. So lots of food opportunities. However, if you are still hungry, the MGM has lots of options on site.
Yeah, I've never gone hungry at a NASIO event, particularly this one, because there's lots of options. Yeah.
Usually it's more like the other way around. Like, oh, we're eating again. Okay.
Right. Yep.
And don't mind if I do. Mm-hmm. All right, Emily. Well, that is the end of our questions about mid-year, but you know the drill. We're going to ask you three fun questions about your life outside of work in our segment that we call the lightning round. Are you ready?
I am.
All right. All right. So I know from your various Zoom backgrounds over the last few months that you recently went through a big home remodel project. Any lessons learned?
Ooh, probably lots of lessons. But I think the big one is that even the best laid plans, have hiccups. So
yeah,
having a little grace, a little humor, and a lot of gratitude will serve you well.
I like that.
Relationships and for yourself.
Yes.
That might also apply to the conference planning too, I think.
Yeah,
absolutely. Absolutely.
So what is a good book or TV series that you've read or seen recently?
Ooh. So I can't do short answers, so I'll give two. A book I'm currently reading is Una Out of Order, a woman every New Year's Day jumps to a different year in her life. So she's not living it chronologically, probably a quarter of the way in. So interesting concept.
Wow. Yeah, that's cool.
And then Palm Royale on Apple TV.
Yes.
Oh, my current love.
We did the first episode the other day.
Yeah, I've been watching that too. It's really fun. And also, I'm like, how are all these actors in their 50s? Because they look like they're in their 30s, including Ricky Martin, who's playing a pool boy, literally.
Ricky Martin was crazy. Yeah. I could not. It looks like he hasn't aged a day.
He even looks younger.
I know. Yeah. I said to my husband, this guy looks like Ricky Martin, but that can't be him because I don't think he's as young. And then it was. All right. Last question. Do you have any fun travel planned as the weather warms up?
Yes. So the beginning of July, we will spend about 2 weeks in Sicily. So I'm looking forward to that.
That's awesome.
Very cool.
Yes.
All right, Emily. Well, you might have the record for the number of lightning rounds you've done.
I know.
Amy's got our official statistics.
I'm always like, what else can I ask Emily about?
Sorry, Amy's got our official statistics. But as always, thanks again for taking time to do this. We are really looking forward to the event, as well as having our whole team together again. So thanks so much, Emily.
Yeah, thank you all for having me.
Thanks. Thanks again for listening to NACIO Voices. NACIO Voices is a production of the National Association of State Chief Information Officers, or NACIO. Learn more at NACIO.org.
And we have a new report out with McKinsey on how generative AI will affect the state government IT workforce. Check it out on our website.
And don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast. See you at National Harbor.